the last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
Before we hear from Mary McKeown and Cal Thomas, let's hear from Donald Trump answering questions about Vladimir Putin's latest attacks, murderous attacks in Ukraine.
I'm not happy with what Putin's doing. He's killing a lot of people, and I don't know what the hell happened to Putin. I've known him a long time, always gotten along with him, but he's sending rockets into cities and killing people, and I don't like it at all, okay? We're in the middle of talking, and he's shooting rockets into Kiev and other cities. I don't like it at all.
President, what do you want to do about
that? I'm surprised. I'm very surprised. We'll see what we're going to do. What am I going to tell you? You're the fake news, aren't you? You're totally fake. All right, any other questions? I don't like what Putin is doing, not even a little bit. He's killing people. And something happened to this guy, and I don't like it.
Cal Thomas, why is he only noticing now what Vladimir Putin has been doing since 2022?
Oh, I'm shaking my head, Matt. I just find this incredible. This is the failure of personality over policy. Trump has thought the force of his personality could make anything happen, and clearly it hasn't. But Putin has been misjudged by presidents going back at least to Jimmy Carter, not just Putin, but Brezhnev as well. When he invaded Afghanistan in 1980, Carter said, Brezhnev lied to me. Well, breaking news, commies lie. And then George W. Bush said he had looked into Putin's eyes and saw his soul. Well, he didn't say it was a dark soul. I mean, why should Trump be surprised that Putin is killing Ukrainians when he kills his own people? He poisons people. He jails people. He's an evil man. And this should not be a shock to anyone.
But Mary McKeown seems to be shocked to Donald Trump. So has something happened, do you think? Has something happened that has caused Trump to change his mind about Putin?
Well, it sounds to me like Trump and Putin should be heading to couples counselling, because really, I think what's happened is entirely personal. I think that Trump is really angry that Putin is making him look bad, because he fell for the Putin nonsense hook, line and sinker when everyone knew that Putin was playing rope-a-dope with Trump, when everyone knew that he was just spinning him around, toying with him, playing for time. Putin's tactics were completely transparent. The flattery, the praise for Trump, the building a statue to him, Moscow, all this nonsense. And Trump, of course, being Trump, fell for it. And now it's not working out the way he thought. He thought, as Cal said, that he could just say, come on now, Vlad, you know, Vladimir, let's end this, and that Putin would go along with him. Putin had no intention of ending this war. He was playing for time, to give himself time to restock his troops, to conscript more people, to force more of his troops to the front lines as cannon fodder. And now Trump is looking stupid. He's not looking like the great deal maker that he was. He's looking, as people in his own party are even saying, naive. And now he's got people like his acolytes like Lindsey Graham, who are now drumming up bipartisan bills looking for sanctions and agreements against Putin. And as I say, Trump just doesn't like it. And then Putin says, or his spokesperson, that this is emotional overload. I mean, honestly, they do sound like a couple who've fallen out. But anyway, it's a mess, because, you know, when Trump, the way Trump treated Zelensky, the way he has, you know, all of his tough talk, and you know, he's not going to impose sanctions. This is just Trump trying to sound tough. I don't think he's going to do anything, because I still don't think, I think his personal antipathy towards Zelensky, and I think there are so many people in the MAGA group who absolutely would prefer to see a Putin victory, extraordinary as that sounds, over a Zelensky victory in this war. I think Trump is just going to keep playing for time with these periodic eruptions like this one.
Cal, explain to our listeners, please, the importance that the United States of America attaches to Memorial Day, which was yesterday.
Well, first I got to compliment Marion on her couples counseling line. That's very good, Marion. Memorial Day in the United States is about as sacred as a secular observance can be. It is honoring those who have died from the Revolutionary War up to the current wars that America has been involved in. Presidents, Republicans or Democrats, have given sound and beautiful speeches at Arlington Cemetery. Not Donald Trump. while he said some really good things, he also loaded up his remarks with terrible things, denouncing people, calling people names again. This is not the right kind of behavior for Memorial Day. And I wish I could say I was shocked, but I'm not shocked by his use of language. And I'm just very disappointed. And so are a lot of other people.
Give us some examples, Marion, of the inappropriate stuff he got up to on Memorial Day.
Well, I think firstly I'm going to go back to Memorial Day 2017, when he famously said to his then chief of staff, I think it was John Kelly, who of course lost his son in Afghanistan 7 years earlier, when he was surveying the coffins, the rows and rows of crosses. And I know he's been to Arlington Cemetery. It's incredibly moving to just go and visit there and see the scale of the sacrifice. And he said to John Kelly back then, and this is according to John Kelly, I don't get it, you know, what's in it for them? He also variously called American people who were killed in battles suckers and losers, and, you know, as I said, refused to be photographed with amputees because he thought it wouldn't be a good look for him, veteran amputees. You know, I mean, his disdain for the military is legendary. So, you know, again, like some of his speeches, Cal said, was really quite articulate and well written, but, you know, and it was clearly not written by Trump. There isn't a single expression or phrase in it when he is being gracious and speaking appropriately on Memorial Day. That has, sounds like anything that's ever come out of his mouth before. But of course, then he had to go on and slag off Biden and, you know, say various other things. And then he spoke about, oh my goodness, you know, it just things like the that God, you know, had decided that he'd be back for his parade and the Olympics and the World Cup and all this other stuff. He just can't help himself. He's incapable of just doing what's necessary, of being respectful and paying tribute to the hundreds of thousands of dead soldiers who made enormous sacrifices for America and for, you know, for freedom in general. But as I say, Trump is Trump. He can't help himself.
And Cal, is there anybody who is standing up to him and saying this is inappropriate? Anyone in his inner circle? Anyone in the Republican Party? Or have we just reached a stage where they all are totally enthralled to him? Are they afraid to do so?
Yeah, I think your last comment that they're afraid to do so is correct. There's still a cult of personality out there about Trump, of people who will not criticize him for anything. They may intellectually say that no president is above criticism, but they don't practice it when it comes to Trump. I wrote a little radio commentary the other day. One of the things Trump called federal judges who have been ruling against him recently, he called them scum during a Memorial Day speech that has nothing to do with federal judges. I get all this response saying that I suffer from Trump derangement syndrome. I can't really be a conservative. You should support our president, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm not afraid of it. I mean, I say what I think, but apparently there are a lot of people in the administration and the inner circle who feel the same way. But it was the same with Biden, too, and those who denied his cognitive decline. So as Jake Tapper and his colleague have brilliantly pointed out, a little late, I would say, in their book Original Sin.
Yeah, but just getting back to cognitive decline, given that Biden's out of office, so it doesn't matter in the sense of what's happening now, do you have any fears about Trump perhaps having a bit of cognitive decline? The reason I ask that is I want to play a little bit from Fox News, where Trump has been asked about his son Barron, and was asking if Barron had a greater aptitude for business or politics.
Maybe technology. He can look at a computer. I tried turn off his laptop. I said, oh, good. And I go back 5 minutes later, he's got his laptop. I said, how'd you do that? None of your business, Dad. No, he's got an unbelievable aptitude in technology.
Cal?
Well, I want to say that I can turn on my laptop, my desktop, and my phone, so that must make me brilliant as well. Look, everybody knows that Barron contributed tremendously to his father's election in the last election because he convinced him to go on podcasts like Joe Rogan and the fighters and talking to those people, a lot of blue collar people. So he is a smart guy. There's no question about it. But I thought the remark that he's so smart he can turn on and off his computer cracked me up.
Yeah, what did you make of that, Marion? Because also, I mean, apart from the Memorial Day statements, that sort of stuff, and some of his Truth Social posts, some of the Truth Social posts over the last couple of days are almost deranged.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing new there. It's like he wakes up in the middle of the night and he has a rage on him and he's just going to get it all out there. Yeah, you know, I mean, I think most two-year-olds can turn on and off a computer. I don't think that signifies any great intellect or any great aptitude for technology. Like Cal, I would consider myself a Luddite, but even I got that far many, many years ago. So, you know, no plaudits there for Barron. There's a lot of talk that was Barron Trump rejected from Harvard, and is this the cause of Donald Trump's ire? That you know, and his great rage against Harvard, which is entirely...
Well, just explain that a little bit more. Leaving aside the potential, the possibility, the conspiracy theory that it's revenge against Harvard for not letting his son in, tell us what it is he's got against Harvard and then how he is taking that forward.
Right, well, you know, I wish it were that simple as a personal son was rejected. To me, it's a lot more sinister. To me, what Trump is doing with Harvard is he's doing what a lot of authoritarians do and would be authoritarians. He's manufacturing something, or he's taking something to which there is a grain of truth, and he's using it as a reason to clamp down on civil liberties and to go on the attack. And in this case, now, the president of Harvard, in a very interesting interview with NPR, said that there is some anti-Semitism in Harvard, and he's quite frank about it, but he said it's not in the form of attacks. It's not in the form of vandalism. He said it's more in the form of shunning. He said that, and he gave an example of where if, you know, students are sitting at a table and they're discussing things, if it becomes known that a student is pro-Israel or is from Israel, that there is evidence that they're then shunned by other students who will do things like get up and walk away or whatever. And you can absolutely believe that is happening. And he said that, yes, that, you know, and he was taking responsibility for this, but he said that this, what Trump is claiming about this virulent anti-Semitism, where students are being attacked, where they're terrified to be on campus, that it's basically just not true. So Trump is using this really exaggerated, I think everybody knows it's exaggerated, thing to beat Harvard with a stick, to withdraw about $3.2 billion worth of funding to freeze it. He's now just announced that he's withdrawing another $100 million worth, and to come up with this ludicrous order where he said that all foreign students, any foreign students in Harvard, and that's about 27% of the total student body, had to either leave Harvard within the next 30 days, either switch to another college, or they would be deemed to be in America illegally. Now, this is insanity. Let me just explain why. Because about foreign students bring about $40 to $50 billion to the American economy every year. They create about 400,000 jobs. It's a hugely lucrative income stream, and they also bring enormous skills with them. Like so many foreign students ended up, you know, who studied in America, ended up in Silicon Valley and you know, contributed enormously to the American economy and American innovation. So this is just bonkers. It's so destructive. But this is, now that order, that executive order has been blocked by a court pending a full hearing, because the damage that would do and the chaos that would cause, where you've been given a place in Harvard, your family, if you're overseas, your family probably had to borrow a fortune to even get you there. The fees are enormous. And then you're told, get out of Harvard in 30 days or get out of the country.
Let's hear a little bit of Trump on Harvard.
Part of the problem with Harvard is that there are about 31%, almost 31% of foreigners coming to Harvard. We give them billions of dollars, which is ridiculous. We do grants, which we're probably not going to be doing much grants anymore to Harvard. But they're 31%, but they refuse to tell us who the people are. We want to know who the people. Now, a lot of the foreign students we wouldn't have a problem with. I'm not going to have a problem with foreign students. But it shouldn't be 31%. It's too much, because we have Americans that want to go there and to other places, and they can't go there because you have 31% foreign. Now, no foreign government contributes money to Harvard. We do. So why are they doing so many? Number one. Number two, we want a list of those foreign students, and we'll find out whether or not they're okay. Many will be okay, I assume. And I assume with Harvard, many will be bad. And then the other thing is they're very anti-Semitic. Everybody knows they're anti-Semitic, and that's got to stop immediately.
Okay, Cal, what do you make of that?
Well, I think this is more generalization, and I don't know what he means by we're paying money for foreign students. I mean, Harvard and a lot of these other schools that take foreign students charge them the full rate. And so Harvard, not only Harvard and these other places are making money, but as I think Marion just pointed out, they're bringing, they're creating, helping to create a lot of jobs in the United States and contributing to the U.S. income. I don't like this idea of providing lists. This smacks of the McCarthy era. I have a list here of known communists in the State Department. Let the universities do the vetting. The other thing I would say, I think the best way to fight anti-Semitism is not to go after these universities and their money and the rest, and we can debate on another area where they should be getting federal money. But the answer, I think, to anti-Semitism is pro-Semitism. Let's have more debates on these campuses. Let's bring in Holocaust survivors. Let's bring in people who from the Israeli government, both in the government and outside the government. And let's have real clear debates with security about the history of the Jewish people. I think that would be a lot better than just what Trump is trying to do.
And briefly, Cal, what do you make of his plans for the giant military parade on the 14th of June, which I think is that his birthday time, coincides with his 79th birthday?
Yes, well, and also the beginning of the 250th anniversary of the United States on July 4th, 1776. This to me smacks of what the old Soviet Union and the Chinese are doing. You'll recall having all of those Soviet leaders up on a level watching the tanks and the missiles and everything else goes by. This is not who we are as America. Yes, we have a strong military. We should have a strong military, but to parade it in the streets smacks of a super nationalistic pride that I think is offensive to me and to a lot of other people.
Thank you very much, Cal Thomas and Marion McKeown.
The Last Word with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.